Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a Baltimore Ravens passing game update. And if you think that might sound a little quizzical, 32nd in design passing attempt, 52%. The touchdown rate, way up again, 6.65%. Jackson on his career, 7.2%. I'm open to the idea that there's something there in terms of him being just more efficient on a passing touchdown rate basis. I don't think it necessarily shows up in the red zone stuff, for example. Red zone rush rate is 61.4%. That's fifth in the league. So it's not like he's getting just a ton of like chippies, you know, just a bunch of chip shot touchdowns. That's not really what it is. 33% of the red zone rushes are quarterback runs. 20% of the red zone plays are quarterback runs. So those are third and second respectively. That's no surprise. So I was open to the idea of like, hey, for some reason, like a highly disproportionate number of his passes are really in the red zone. And where it's like, hey, he's just design passes outside the red zone. Like he's just worse by it's just a significant margin. And then they get down there and all of a sudden he's very much, you know, it totally flips for some reason. Like they've identified an inefficiency or whatever. You know, it's RPO action, right? It just sets up really well with something like that. It doesn't really seem like what it is. So I'm open to the idea that it's variance with his touchdown numbers. I'm open to the idea that there's something there in terms of just the threat of a rushing quarterback. I don't know. And this is one of those situations where I think, given all that we know, I would bet on this being variance, but we've seen it twice in a row, so I'm open to the idea it's different. I probably wouldn't project a big time uptick, right? So maybe if, you know, his average is something like, his average is 7.2% in his career, and the average for the NFL is 4.5. And so if maybe we want to take the middle on that, right? That I think would be a fair thing to think about. So you take the middle of 7.2 and 4.5, and then you get, you know, basically in the high fives, right? I mean, that's, I think that's a fair way to come about it. But I wouldn't expect a huge, huge number. And I would expect it to go back to normal just because, you know, this is the famous Daryl Morey quote, which is, let's fire up a weighted number generator, see what the results are, then make it fit a narrative, right? That's, I think there's some possibility of that there too. So it just be open to the idea that some of the passing touchdown numbers come down. They came down off of like 9% 2 years ago. So, but it didn't come all the way back. So just be open to the idea that maybe it's a little bit inflated for reasons that we just can't necessarily put a finger on. 6.52 sack rate, it's 11th highest. Yeah, so okay. Scrambled the highest in the NFL, 10.6%. 34.5% of his passing attempts are on play action. That is third in the league, so we like that. 8% play action pass. 8 yards per attempt on play action pass. It's pretty good. 6.8 on non-play action pass. 17.4% improvement. That is 17th. So about, yeah, right about in the middle in terms of the improvements, right about what you would expect. The passing game numbers, you know, some of the stuff's pretty interesting in terms of alignments and whatnot. So the running backs, 10th most routes. This is just where it gets really concerning. 10th most routes, 8.5 per dropback. 31st in targets, 31st in receptions per dropback, and 24th in yards per dropback. So just not good, right? This is not, it's not a very fertile running back receiving landscape. The receiver position, 25th in terms of receiver routes, at only 2.56, 29th in targets, 29th in receptions per dropback, 29th in yards per dropback. I will say that one of the big things that they did was they ran a ton of Miles Boykin, like just really inefficient routes. So I would just be sort of open to that idea of like, hey, that could go away. You know, it's Sammy Watkins could factor in there. You could get Rashad Bateman. There's plenty of room for Rashad Bateman to operate. Willie Snead's gone, 281 routes. He's actually their third most efficient pass catcher last year behind Andrews, Brown. It was Willie Snead. So that's, I think, notable. But you sort of look after, you know, he was 12% of their targets. So already, you know, we don't do the vacated target thing per se, but already, like, there's plenty of room to operate in the offense. Just what's pretty amazing, though, when you sort of look at it, Mark Andrews, 350 routes. It's just not that many routes. 447 for Marquise Brown. So there's some, I think on a, like a per route basis, Andrews fits with the elites, but he just doesn't run that many routes. I think it's also notable that when you look at Andrews, he's basically a slot receiver. So we'll get to that in a second. 62.5% of his passing snaps was in the slot. That's fifth highest at the position. So he's very much just essentially a big slot receiver, and runs a fairly deep A dot. So he's at 10.9 A dot. That's fifth at the position. So he's basically kind of running more vertical tight end slot routes than he is anything else. And playing in line or anything like that, basically a third of the time. So I just think it's notable in terms of how some of these constructs go. You could sort of figure out how this position is going to get put together. I think there is a fair amount of opportunity for Willie Snead, for example, from the Willie Snead role, for example, where he basically played essentially 82% of his snaps in the slot. So there's room there for if that's Bateman, maybe, or Bateman could go outside and sort of supplant Boykins there, or Miles Boykin outside, right? There's both rooms there. There's no one really blocking him out, which shouldn't necessarily be news. So the 25th in terms of routes, I actually think that should go up. And I think the reason it should go up is because they're better, right? Like the players are better. So that would be one thing just to keep in mind there. It could be a bigger passing role. And listen, they've got to get Lamar Jackson, some high-end production out of Lamar Jackson before there is an extension. So that's just my take. I don't know. That would sort of be what I would look at. 29th in terms of targets per dropback, 29th in terms of receptions per dropback, 29th in terms of yards per dropback. The fact that they went to the position multiple times in different ways to address it with Sammy Watkins, bringing in Rashad Bateman, that shouldn't surprise. So plenty of opportunity, and I think that could be a significant place of growth from the passing game. You know, maybe it drags the rate up and some of the efficiency stuff, and you got like a kind of a mushroom cloud of some passing growth. It's coming from kind of a low level. The tight end position, no real surprise. They've been a pretty tight end dominant team. Just over one route per dropback. It's 11th at 1.08. 7th in terms of targets per dropback. 8th in terms of receptions per dropback. 7th in terms of yards per dropback. So, again, that's pretty good. Pass blocking, 10th in efficiency. 10th in PFF grade, excuse me. They lose Matt Scora, who was their center. He's actually 32nd in terms of PFF grade last year, 17th in efficiency, so not really losing a ton there. They had DJ Fluker, who didn't play. I think he was an opt-out. Orlando Brown, 28th in terms of PFF passing grade, pass blocking grade, 48th in terms of efficiency. So I do think if you sort of look at some of these, like, there's actually room for some offensive improvement. However, they added Alejandro Villanueva, who was actually worse in passing efficiency last year, so that's notable. Kevin Zeitler as well to play interior line, 26 in terms of PFF grade, 43rd in terms of efficiency at a qualifier. So he's basically kind of middle of the road in terms of where his production was last year. Marquise Brown, 1.22 yards per route, 1.72 yards per route run. It's pretty good at the position. Again, it's not necessarily he's bad. It's just that there's not a ton of volume, right? If he played in a significantly bigger offense, right? A significantly larger passing game, right? 25% target share is nothing to sneeze at. You know, that's why when people sort of label him a bust, like, what's our definition of what are we defining as bust? 25% market share is actually very robust. He's 26% of their receiving market share, receiving yards, 42% of their catches at the wide receiver position he had. So again, and he had 44.5% of their receiving yards for the wide receiver position. So he's very dominant in terms of what they did at the receiver position. Again, 95 targets. It's kind of a, hey, he's basically a big fish in a really small pond, is I think the way to think about it. He led them in targets, led them in yards, led them in routes. It's just a small portion. Right? It's just a small, real, real small pie. Right? And that's kind of the problem. So Willie Sneed's out. Again, he was the third best receiver there in terms of efficiencies. In is Sammy Watkins, right? That's actually a downtick in terms of yards per route run. But I'm open to the idea that he could potentially add something. Notably, he played in the slot 49% of the time. That was 39th at the position, whereas Willie Sneed played 81, basically almost 82% of the snaps in the slot. So there is some slot opening there. Again, I'm not sure if Watkins is going to fit outside or inside. I think they've got a little bit of both. They've got a little bit of versatility there with both him and Bateman. They could potentially, I think they could get both of them on the field quite a bit and potentially have some flexibility there if Sammy Watkins has his head on straight, which I'm not necessarily going to bet on. So that's pretty much the deal there on the metric stuff. I will note that there is some, you know, there has been some reporting, and this is good news. Like we want good reporting in terms of what, you know, what may a Lamar Jackson extension look like. And there's some thought that, hey, it's going to look a little bit like Deshaun Watson's extension. It's dubious to me to do that. I get he has been very good. I think that you sort of get pinned down as a franchise if you don't have a quarterback that can win a Super Bowl, and I'm not sure that he can. So, it'll be interesting where this ultimately comes in and we see this. So they have a pretty good breakdown, the Baltimore Sun did, you know, basically looking at some of the contracts in the NFL. It's actually pretty good in terms of looking through all the different contracts in terms of Watson and Mahomes and Prescott. Right? Those are all pretty interesting in terms of what they actually look for and look through. I'll be interested to see, you know, what that sort of fits in. They kind of put him in like the Watson type of category as being a contract. Again, I probably wouldn't do that at this point, but we'll see, right? We got time to figure that out. That's, I think, the biggest story here that I'm watching for as we go along in the off season. So just take a look quick at some of the projection stuff from Football Guys to basically see, you know, where we're at in terms of preseason projections and what we're sort of expecting at the receiving skill positions. Again, we already did running backs, and I did a piece on the running back competitions and included this one because I do think there is competition. I think J.K. Dobbins probably leads the backfield, but there is competition between him and Edwards. Lamar Jackson comes in fourth in terms of his overall projection there at Football Guys. So that's, right up there about where he's finished, ahead of Brady, behind Kyler Murray, and ahead of Prescott as well. So then you look at the receivers, and this is it's no surprise that this is lower than we might otherwise, for a lot of other teams. 44th is their best with Marquise Brown. That's basically 10 and a little bit over 10 points, basically 10.5 points per game is what they have them projected for. Bateman, $138 in terms of his projection, 66th. Sammy Watkins, 80th. Devin Duvernay, 127th, if we're keeping track, way down the board. At the tight end position, again, it's going to be a question of overall volume, I think. There's very little doubt in my mind that Mark Andrews is a good tight end from an NFL perspective. It's just going to come down to a lot of, like, how big's the pie going to be? Are they going to go more passing? Like, if all of a sudden they threw the ball 60% of the time, which I don't think is going to happen, but if all of a sudden they did, he would have a lot of untapped potential that he could absolutely realize. He's projected tight end 5 right ahead of Pitts behind Hockenson. And when you sort of look at the difference between him and Hockenson, like, it's almost a reception per game, which honestly might be generous to Andrews and slightly offensive to Hockenson based on what I think that Hockenson could potentially offer. So that's pretty much where that's at. Then you sort of look at the we'll look at the real draft position here over the past month or so. You've got Lamar Jackson going firmly 107, you know, firmly in the first round. So that's pretty good in terms of where he's up there. He's plenty expensive. You know, I would have Dak over him, for example. But that's me. Other people are different there. Marquise Brown, the leading returning wide receiver, 53.5. That's 12.12. Again, I'm not sure if he's long for there, which would be interesting. You know, is he going to sign an extension there? Is he going to want to kind of play it out in free agency? I might, if I was him, like, he's got a decent resume to play it out in free agency someplace else. Like, how about lining up in camp? I mean, it sounds, obviously it's cliche, but man, how about him on the opposite side of Tyreek Hill? And I think that they could actually, by the time that comes together, like, they would have some cap space, I think, to operate there and potentially see that some of the stuff that they haven't necessarily done well at developing their supporting cast at wide receiver, like, they could maybe get a discount on a guy like Marquise Brown. Rashad Bateman, wide receiver 40, 10.03. So he's going just behind Elijah Moore and behind Deebo Samuel. So yeah, you are getting some notably, and that's probably more of a recent trend, you are getting some a little bit of equity there on the draft pedigree side between him and Elijah Moore. So if you're sort of stacking him up, you're getting him cheaper than you would have got him in rookie drafts earlier in the offseason, so that might actually make him a target player. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode of the Analytics of Dynasty Daily podcast, focusing on the Baltimore Ravens passing game. Let's get some more growth. We'll sort of watch the touchdown rate and how Bateman fits in. I'd be really interested if they go slot or outside with Bateman. I think he could probably play both, but I'd be interested to see him in the slot. I think he could tear it up. I would also note that that Lamar Jackson, very from a clean pocket, this is, I think, a notable thing. From a clean pocket, his ADOT is 9. That's 5th in the league. So he is a very vertically based quarterback. So maybe some of the stuff with Bateman, like, that might be a position where they could potentially grow him some of the more intermediate stuff instead of taking some of the, you know, maybe make it a little bit more chain moving as well. It might open up some different spots in the offense. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.